talking about the founding of the college itself, 1893. We discussed it, the time of training there. But his heart was training. We don't have any indication of God saying, as he did, for the call to preach and for his sanctification. We don't have a clear statement that I can find that God said, go start a Bible college. I think it was just his heart. And it may have been part of the fact that we must train workers for this 11th hour, as we'll come to that discussion a bit later on. They started the school there. And again, don't despise the day of small things. One student. Law Anderson. And he was the only student that came to the opening of that college. And they've got what? A three-story resort hotel. I guess he could choose his room as he pleased to have it. They've been dismissed from the Presbyterian Church. They're working very closely with the Christian Missionary Alliance Church at this point. And though it's not part of my discussion, it will be when I keep on adding. He's going to become part of the PM, the Pentecostal Mission in Nashville, Tennessee, which is a group of sanctified churches. And I believe he becomes a vice president to J.O. McClarkin. Is that McClarkin or Clarkin? Clarkin. Which becomes a gathering of sanctified believers and churches. I wish somehow, sometime, we could trace that group as to where it ended up, where it stayed just sanctification only, whether it merged into the Nazarenes or the Wesleyans or the Free Methodists. I don't know yet. I don't know that any study has been done. I halfway figured that in my own mind that that's about what happened.
Holmes became the Southern Pentecostal Association.
Yeah, it started in Alabama. Yeah, I'll probably mention that. But yeah, that's where he, and Brother Culberth was involved out there. That's where C.B. Strickland went, was the PM out there. We haven't gotten there yet, have we? So I need to save that. He works with him for a good while, and that's a good relationship. And he and Houston will make a number of trips to Nashville during that period of time. So there's a connection there and a connection with the CMA. And Todd is the regional representative. But Culberth is involved, though he is not at that particular meeting, in that as well. So other students came along during the year, so it wasn't just one student. But I don't know how I would have felt if I'd opened a Bible college and one student showed up. I might have said, come back next year. Law Anderson. Probably Lawrence. I think we were discussing it last night. The material I had a while ago was law, and he is going to be there at the school. So during this period of time, one of the other things I want to do is the relationship with the Pentecostal Holiness Church. So the school is going to be there, again involved with the CMA. They're going to move the school to Atlanta. Now, the teachers, M.B. Houston, was the professor or teacher of Bible there. He was a Presbyterian. He had already been to China as a missionary, and the work that he did actually became a part of the China Inland Mission. Keep that in mind when we come to the mission's impact of the church. So he's the only Bible teacher. He will stay there for about 2 years, And then we'll go. He is teaching at NIAC at the same time, which is a CMA school, and that relationship is there. I'd like to see more about that relationship with them. So they're going to organize a CMA conference or camp meeting in Atlanta, Georgia. And he will stay there thinking that it will be an outpost of the CMA in Atlanta, and the sharing of the gospel and the training of men and women there. They will move from there to Columbia for a while. And lest I forget it, it should be in my next lecture. But let me tell you that something happened at Columbia that has a bearing on the rest of the work. Brother Holmes becomes very burdened in the entire school for world evangelism. Well, first of all, for a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And they're going to almost suspend all of their classes and spend the time totally in prayer, praying for the moving of God's Spirit, especially the gifts of the Spirit, and for world evangelism. Now, that's important because that prayer is going to be answered not then, but sometime later. They're going to bring the school back to Altamont, and there it's going to remain until they come down to Buncombe and Briggs, and that's where the college will be until it is moved to Old Buncombe, where it is located today. So those are the changes that take place in that. Now, what's going to happen at the college and its training? It's going to grow. Taylor, let me go back to one of the statements Taylor makes about sanctification. He says, N.J. Holmes preached this doctrine until the day he died and remained faithful to the principles and teachings of sanctification. That was his, talking about Holmes after his death. How does Pentecost come to Holmes? It's still a school of holiness, sanctification. And here again is the very, anybody who's talking about N.J. Holmes and Pentecostalism must go to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Altamont. And actually with the moving of the Holy Spirit, Holmes is going to tell us that one day a girl, they were praying in the chapel, and one day a girl begins to praise the Lord and begins to speak in tongues. Holmes does not understand what is taking place. In fact, one statement says he was a little bit frightened. But he had the wisdom not to do anything about it. He talks about it. One of the young women began to praise God with all of her heart and soul, and in a minute was on her feet praising God and suddenly began talking in an unknown tongue. Holmes was rejoicing, yet frightened. Now you can imagine that. Now he's been, that prayer meeting at Columbia was for this. But Pentecost basically comes to Altamont, and I want to talk about two men who write about that experience. I did not know this. Stan would know it. G.F. Taylor is there on the day that the Holy Spirit falls. And we don't have just N.J. Holmes's record of that. We have G.F. Taylor's record of that. And in The Advocate, he writes an article on that and talks about Pentecost comes to Altamont. He says it was my privilege to... Well, let me just talk about it. I don't have to read that. He is going to preach the graduation exercise that year. Now, keep in mind that Brother Holmes has come to Magnolia, North Carolina, to the Bethel Holiness School to preach the commencement exercise for G.F. Taylor at that school. So they start a relationship there. Brother York says he can't. He may have found the Bethel Holiness School, but there's no records down there that they ever existed. But G.F. Taylor had a school down there. So he had read about Holmes, heard about Holmes, and he invites Holmes to come and speak. So that starts a relationship. I don't want to go into all of the background. He goes and hears G.B. Cashel preach on the Holy Spirit. He sees a lady there who is moving in the Holy Spirit. He invites her to come to Holmes and share and teach there. She teaches for a while and she feels like she's not being received and she leaves. Most of us will get upset at something like that happening, but it just wasn't God's timing, evidently. I'm not sure she was a Brown, too. But in the process of all of that, God begins to move. Taylor says on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, he's been preaching all week now, and they start a prayer meeting on that morning, and God begins to move in unusual ways. In fact, he said, when I came, I found some opposition to the Pentecostal truth. But early on that morning, in fact, he's had a 6 o'clock prayer service in the dormitory and then directly to the tent. So they had the tent a long time ago. Service continued without break until 1 o'clock in the morning. And numbers of people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Among those were Sister Terry, now wife of L.R. Graham, keep that name in mind. He's superintendent of the Memphis Conference. Nina Cotton, the one we know as Nina Holmes, wife of Brother Holmes' nephew. Miss Nell Lane, anybody know who Nell Lane was? That was Paul F. Beecham's wife. I don't find where Paul F. Beecham is in this picture, and I'm beginning to wonder. Conway Anderson, keep that in mind because he's going to become one of the missionaries. Well, it says missionary to Central America, but when G.F. Taylor was writing this, he was in heaven. Miss Mamie Leppard, now wife of O.F. Taylor from Lawrence, and probably the person whose grandson is writing these articles, a pastor in Upper South Carolina. And Sarah Brigman, who is on our waiting list to go to India, and a list of others next morning on June that is taking place. Now, Mrs. Holmes did not receive, and according to Brother Holmes's record, she was so excited watching the others and what God was doing that she did not receive the Pentecostal baptism. She did the next morning and was baptized in the Spirit. Remember what he had said, she was sanctified and ran by me. Which is what old Brother Maynard in Falcon, or in Pembroke, said to me about the baptism at St. Anna Free Will Baptist Church. His wife was baptized one night and he said, I went home saying, she's gone where I cannot go and she stepped into an area I've not yet gotten there. But by God's help, I'm going to cross over into that experience as well. So in the morning, she's going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's going to describe it this way. Brother Taylor preached from John chapter 7, verse 37. Again, one of my favorite sermons. I think I preached it here for the Pentecostal, for the Azusa Street East celebration. You wouldn't remember, I do. I knew when I preached it. Simple message, he said. This spake he of the Holy Spirit, which had not yet been given, for Christ was not yet glorified. And he said, as he preached his message, he simply said, all of you who would like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, would you please come to the front? And they began to pray and praise God. Some began to rising up in the tent and speak with other tongues. Now, follow this. This is what Brother Benson said to me we would consider fanaticism today, probably. Some began to write in an unknown tongue. Some were singing in other tongues. Some were dancing. others playing the organ under the power of the Holy Spirit. Anybody ever seen that? Raise your hand. A few have. I had an aunt, great aunt, Miss Ruth Harris, S.T. Harris, pastor in this conference. But you can manipulate things, you know it. Always be careful. You cannot make an experience anywhere anointive. And that's what we often do. If somebody else did it, we ought to do it. No! I got that from a bishop out of Africa who preached at the Keswick Convention. He had all of these manifestations taking place in his country and in his church, and he wasn't Pentecostal. And somebody asked him a question, and I've kept it in my heart ever since, said, how did you handle that? He said, we did not make any of the experiences that happened normative. For the Holy Spirit has the freedom to act in any way He wants to act. The initial evidence is normative. The others, God does it in His own will and way. I was just a boy. My aunt was aged, had to almost be brought to church. But the Holy Spirit was moving in the Bethany church one night. And we had two or three ladies in that church. I'll call no names. They're in heaven now. They would always try to make the Spirit move. And because they had seen Miss Ruth go up and play in the Spirit, they went and got her and going to take her to the piano to play. It was a fiasco. She wasn't in the Spirit. She had done it in the Spirit any number of times. But these were doing that. I've never forgotten that. Don't ever try to force Spirit of God to do in you what you want done. It must be yielding to the work of the Spirit of God. I'd already received in a previous night, sitting in a corner, praying quietly, letting somebody else handle the prayer meeting. He had been to the casuals meetings. He had seen the lady from Union come over and share. Keep in mind, this man is not an impetuous man. That's one of the things I want to point out later on. He is so balanced with what he does. But sitting there, he began to pray. He asked somebody else to handle the prayer service. But the Holy Spirit began to move on him, and he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, he says, I'd ought to receive, so I could look on with wonder and amazement. It was indeed the most heavenly scene I had ever beheld. Now again, all of that was taking place. They wrote letters. They spoke in tongues. They sung in tongues. And when I get to the part on Pentecostalism, and I probably won't get to it today, he's going to deal with the fact that there must be order in the Pentecostal manifestations. And he's going to make a difference between the initial evidence and the gift of tongues. I probably won't get there, so I'll go ahead and do it. He's going to, and I want to deal more with it. He's going to make up the fact that the gift of tongues was not that frequent in these meetings. Very few individuals, he said, had a message to give in tongues. He implies at one point that only a few times in his life had he given a message in tongues and a few words, he would say. And they were interpreted by someone in the group. But he's going to make those comparisons so that there's a good basis for Pentecostal balance in that as well. Now, L.R. Oscar Taylor received the baptism 2 days later. And the camp meeting is over, and L.R. Graham sometime in the next month, no, it would not be over, also received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, S.A. Bishop did not, and S.A. Bishop will become a central character when I get to the spread out. S.A. Bishop did not receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, he was one who said, I got it When I was sanctified, don't tell me about another experience. I've got it all. And there are a bunch of students who did that. But brother, I believe it's in Clinton, he's preaching a revival meeting, and S.A. Bishop is there, and S.A. Bishop is baptized in the Holy Spirit. So God just kept on moving and kept on blessing. So when Pentecost came to the school, it was a powerful thing. It changed the school. It gave it its future and direction. It would from then on become a Pentecostal institution. Now, let me go to something else that I would want to tie in and will later on. He is going to go to Alabama and preach a meeting. And M.M. Pinson is going to be a leader in that particular meeting. I think I'm right. M.M. Pinson became a leader in the Assemblies of God. Am I correct? Yes. So what I'm trying to do is to tell you that with that, he is also going into the Assembly of God church. And Pinson is there, and they are working together. Now, at that time, they formed the SPA. That is the Southern Pentecostal. Well, it's not Southern at that point. I guess it is, but it's mostly Alabama. They're going to form the SPA, which is beyond Alabama. And who's going to become president of that? It's going to be N.J. Holmes. So that movement as well, we discussed it last night, where that goes to. But he becomes president of that. He was vice president of the PM, the Pentecostal Mission. And he is involved in all of the CMA. All of that is taking place at a time. And it's Pentecostal now, not just the sanctified group. So he is touching both the Assemblies of God and the Pentecostal Holiness Church. Now before I get to this spread out, I need to talk about the Tabernacle Pentecostal Church. The Tabernacle Pentecostal Church is the group that Holmes organizes after he has received the Holy Spirit. Yeah. The Tabernacle Pentecostal, he's going to form a group. I thought it was the Brewerton Presbytery, but it's not. It's the Tabernacle Pentecostal Church. And Holmes today is still the Tabernacle Pentecostal Church. How do I know? Because when I tried to borrow some money or get a line of credit, they asked me what the name of my church was, and I said, Holmes. And she said, no, it's not. We don't find that. And you don't loan money unless you've got a certified name or registered name somewhere. So she informed me that we are the Tabernacle Pentecostal Church. And I said, well, it doesn't matter to me. It's Holmes as far as we're concerned. That's all we know. But in actuality, it's Holmes Tabernacle Pentecostal Church. And if you want to borrow money or do an illegal thing for Holmes, you've got to do it through Tabernacle Pentecostal Holiness Church. Well, Dr. Holmes starts organizing these Presbyterian churches that are no longer Presbyterian in the churches that he starts. And he starts the Tabernacle Pentecostal Church, not a Holiness Church. And with starting that Tabernacle Church, the first one is in Greenville. Now, the church in Greenville celebrates 1914 as their beginning date. I don't know why they would do that. I wasn't there when they did it. But there must be an official registration at that point. But Holmes starts the church in 1910 as a Tabernacle Pentecostal Church, and there are a number of those in the area, Gum Springs, Easley, Birmingham. There are just a number of those. I'm not for sure about Memphis. I'll talk about the Memphis connection in a while. But it, probably it is. L.R. Graham has become pastor of Memphis. S.A. Bishop is going to be the pastor in Birmingham. But he starts these churches and calls them the Tabernacle Pentecostal Church. And these churches are under his jurisdiction and his leadership. And they are connected to each other. And if you go to Gum Springs, they'll talk about the days when Holmes was there. Brother Beecham, I think, pastored two or three of these churches. Four Brother Holmes before he became pastor at Holmes Memorial Church in, 1919, I believe. So that's happened. The important thing there is that these churches are actually going to become the Upper South Carolina Conference and part of the Alabama Conference. When in 1915 the Tabernacle Church became part of the Pentecostal Holiness Church, all of those churches, all is a big term, but almost all those churches became either a part of the Upper South Carolina Conference, because that was part of the Georgia Conference until then. They became a part of the Upper South Carolina Conference and a few in Alabama, and that's a connection with Brother Holmes and the founding of the parts of the church, Upper South Carolina Conference. It's still there today. Now, when he did that, he did not bring the college in, nor did he bring the local church in Greenville in. Another avenue I want to explore, and Dr. Woods and I will talk about it, he argues quite forcefully that Dr. Holmes adopted Mr. Simpson's attitude and disposition about an ecumenical movement. Now, when I was bishop and I was working in some of these areas, to say ecumenical could get me in a lot of trouble. In fact, I had Harl Hunter, who came one day. I want to write an article about the way that you have made inroads into the churches around the world and in the ecumenical movement. I said, hold it. Don't do anything on that till 25 years. No, I didn't say that. But it was different back then. I know what he's saying, non-denominationalism. Holmes evidently felt that so strongly. He would let these churches come in. He let his assistant be pastor and be a part of that and become treasurer and world missions director for the Pentecostal Holiness Church. But he would never bring the church in and never bring the college in. Now let me add a word from G.F. Taylor on that. G.F. Taylor makes that statement and says that we are in full agreement with the theology and teachings of Holmes Bible College, and we endorse it with the fullest of endorsement. And I'm going to come to that a bit later. I can't tell you, he said, how many of our leading ministers have been trained by this college. So there's a relationship there. I can't quite figure it out. How Holmes could be so close to everybody else in the church, how he could bring his churches into his little denomination, into the Pentecostal Holiness Church, but never did, and he never did. And I don't need to tell you, I don't intend to deal with that any time. Of all the conflict that went on about all of that later on, somebody somewhere 50 years from now can write about it. I just had to do one little battle again. I don't need to go there. I will be mean enough. I wanted to say, it's about like a Confederate soldier still fighting the Civil War. It's over, it's done with, forget it, and leave it. I've done two of those today, haven't I? That's my limit. Now, that's how all that came about. And out of George Taylor, you must keep in mind that the missions work started before it became a Pentecostal Holiness Church. And some of the missionaries who went out under the tabernacle, George Taylor, I know I'm quoting him quite a bit. George Taylor said when this group joined the PH Church, all of their missionaries became our missionaries. You had Amos Brad. Well, I'm going to that part. Let me just go there. Let's talk about, I think you're going to have to go. Yeah, that's what I want right there. Now, here's where I want to go. The impact of this college on the world. I don't know whether you can see that or not. Miss Wanda drew this for me again after 6 o'clock on the night I was leaving. So you can tell how fresh that is. But I saw one from Judith Williams on her going to China, and I said, Wanda, I can't do it, but I know it's late and I've got to leave, but can you do that for me? So here's what I want you to see now, the global impact, and I want to give the heart of world evangelism and the global mission of the church. Look at Holmes, that little place there, and little it was, what? He said less than 5 buildings. How in the world is that place going to impact all of these places? And the reason I've drawn those arrows, or she did, to these particular places, she has left out Hawaii, and we always do. But you must keep in mind that there was a major move from Holmes to Hawaii. We lost it all. There again, there are 4 or 5. We've talked about some of those. There are 4 or 5 things that we did that we lost basic, great parts of the church that we don't even hold to that today. You understand that? That's not the third one I'm throwing out. I'm just telling you that we did some things that cut us off. And Hawaii is one of those. And I was in charge of Hawaii for about 8 years. Real tough assignment. All right, let me give a general background now. A.B. Simpson, CMA, and Brother Holmes, there was a work together there. He stressed the gifts of the Spirit and stressed that deeper life. But one of the things he also stressed, and I think this becomes a part of the DNA of Holmes Bible College. I think it's in its name to start with. I think there's a deep sense of God's calling the church to the Great Commission and to global evangelism. It's so deep is that going to be that some mistakes are made. T.H. McIntosh from Lumberton goes to China, Macau, thinks that he will have the language when he gets there, and is very embarrassed. S.C. Todd writes a critical article about his foolishness in trying to do that. But that's how that burden was. And in the middle of the tabernacle formation, in the middle of all that's going on now, you still have that sense of world missions. Bradley is going to go to Central America. And we're going to turn Bradley out of the church because he's not teaching sanctification exactly like somebody thought he ought to. So we lose him and he goes back to Guatemala and forms a work there for, not the Free Methodists. He went to work with another denomination. He came back to the church eventually. But there again, one of those situations we could have saved ourselves from. But before I get that, I want you to understand that this school is going to have a tremendous impact. And Simpson did not just stress world evangelism. It was always home evangelism and world evangelism. Now, whether Frank Tunstall got the simultaneous principle from that, I don't know. I don't think so. But that's at the same time, God is moving to evangelize the world while he's evangelizing home missions as well. And that is there. Again, Taylor is going to say, I can't tell you how many men and women have been trained by Holmes for the Pentecostal Holiness Church. Our leading ministers have been trained by that. Could I stop and just, I'm not going to go that route. I will later on. I'll add it to there. Do you understand how much that church has impacted this conference or that school? Do you realize how much it's impacted the Pentecostal Holiness Church? I don't think I threw it out a while ago, but I should have. We've been called the Presbyterians of the Pentecostal movement. Can you doubt why? So his influence is there. Do you understand that God began to move Ralph Johnson, H.T. Spence, Montgomery? You can go on and on of the men and the women that were shaped by Holmes Bible College and sent forth into the world. And many of them are right here in America. I want to zero in on the world evangelism. But he made it quite clear. Arlo Corvin, in that article in University of South Carolina thesis, he makes the statement that many persons have been trained and sent forth into the world, and he's going to name certain places when he does that, and he's going to speak about Latin America, South America, and China, basically. But let's talk about that. For instance, do you know how many superintendents of this conference have been trained at Holmes Bible College? Most of them since J. Donna Lee. Donna Lee, James Leggett, T.E. Long, Chris Thompson, and Danny Nelson. Oh, yeah, Danny Nelson. No, it was Jim Whitfield after Chris Thompson. Huh? You weren't here. No, but he's sitting back there. No need to tell you that I did that on purpose, is it? When I served as conference superintendent, I think 4 out of the 6 members were graduates of Holmes Bible College. When I went to Oklahoma City, over half of the executive board were at Holmes Bible College. And still they infest the offices in Oklahoma City. Yeah. The investment has been tremendous there. This church has been greatly impacted by that. You're going to, with that Tabernacle Church, and Dan Woods, he and I have talked about it, and I saw it in his book. He likes, have you got a pass on the railroads like those early preachers said? He says they follow the railroad tracks from Greenville down to Birmingham and to Memphis and here. I know that Johnny Brooks had a pass on the railroad. His father was Williams, I think. And that core of evangelists down around Lumberton and Boardman and all of that place, Brooks had him a pass on the railroad that he could. His father did, and they went all the way to California to hear B.W. Carradine preach. Back in those days, it's an amazing story. But S.A. Bishop and M.M. Pinson. And then L.R. Graham. All of these are involved. L.R. Graham was there at the college. L.R. Graham was a speaker from my graduation from Holmes in high school. So that connection is there. You may want to know that when they did organize that SPA, that Owen Todd was a treasurer. Not the one we know. It was there. So that's the way that God is blessing. There was a sense, Frank Tunstall mentions this in his book, out of Azusa Street, but it's more than Azusa Street, that the Holy Spirit had put a deep impression into the hearts and lives of men and women for global evangelism. And with A.B. Simpson and the other leaders, it was the 11th hour. It was the soon coming of Jesus Christ. And that if we're going to win the world, it's got to be done now. And so that spirit of world evangelism, of missionary activity. And when he started Holmes Bible College, what did he name it? Altamont Missionary and Bible Institute, and Holmes Missionary and Bible Institute. We have tried to keep that alive. I've tried to revive it. It is much in the school now. We just have, 11 students who've just gotten back from Athens, Greece, who've been working with Syrian refugees for 10 days, and they're coming back all excited. I can't be there next year to watch them testify and share it. Brother Thompson will be able to, and I hope they do. But let's revive that spirit of evangelism that since there. So Simpson, he got it from Simpson, held on to it. Houston was there. S.C. Todd is going to go to Hong Kong in the middle of all of this and catch a bug or something and come back and die very early in life. But already they're reaching out to the world and reaching out to touch. And God is blessing for that. They're praying for a revival, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And for the gifts of the Spirit as promised in 1 Corinthians 12. To go with Simpson to the neglected fields of the world. A compelling desire to take the message to the ends of the earth. And the second coming of Jesus Christ. And in the middle of that, before we get to any of the other, Anna Dean Cole is going to go. Conway Anderson is going to go as well to preach the gospel. A.B. Simpson had a statement that I'll go back to again. That he wanted to prepare men and women spiritually anointed to go into the fields of the world and win the lost to Jesus Christ. Mr. Woods, again, will say that some of the greatest missionary activity still is in the areas where Matty Perry, N.J. Holmes, and J.A. Culberth labored so long. And that includes the Western Conference, because Matty was in Marion with that. And that is true. Holmes became, and Falcon became, a part as well. Now, what I want to do, and I'll put the names up. Go ahead. Let's go ahead. And I've got those written down. But let me talk about four or five areas in which Holmes had such an impact around the world. Let's talk first of all about Africa. Joel Rhodes. And I have read that he's from Falcon. I cannot figure that one out. I don't think so. But I'd like to find out. Sue, do you know whether Joel Rhodes was from?
All I remember is they retired in Florida, if I'm not mistaken.
He retired up here.
Yeah, well, I remember.
The reason I say that is because Joel Rhodes pretty much is there to start that work. But two of the men who make the big difference are both graduates of Holmes Bible College, Johnny Brooks and D.D. Freeman. And I'll tell you that story. Johnny Brooks and Freeman were both students at Holmes Bible College. The story, we're going to dedicate a building now for Freeman and Duncan, Cottage for the Girls. And I want these names on the campus and their missionary names. Brooks is there. King is there. I'll have Freeman and Duncan there as well. What else will go? I don't know. But I want to talk about that because Africa is the call of God. Africa and China seem to be the call. And India. Those three areas I want to talk about real quickly. Brother Brooks was saved at 4 and I think baptized in the Holy Spirit at 4 years of age. Dean would know much about him. That family was very close. He moved here. His home is over here. I took him to Africa. Let me go leave that alone. But they are there. And I'll tell you this because it's a story I picked up. Book in Joy's office one day. And I said, that woman is a graduate of Holmes, if I'm not mistaken. Laura Hilton. So I stole the book and took it home with me. Laura Hilton was there with a bunch. The missions board is meeting, at that time the executive board is meeting in Franklin Springs. And Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Sonny got a call to preach or go to Africa here. And he is praying and seeking God. And God tells him he's going to Africa. And he says, no. No way can I go to Africa. So he calls Brother Robinson, A.E. Robinson, and Brother Holland, A.C. Holland. Both names that I would know by being here. And Johnny's in there crying and weeping. He just don't know what to do. I can't go to Africa. A boy from down at Cerro Gordo and living in Falcon, and Johnny is sick all of his life. Thin as a rail. When I was here, he had to take Boost or some of those things all the time to get enough energy to work 1 hour in his yard. And he says to Brother Holland and Brother Robinson, God just called me to Africa. I can't do that. And they assure him that if God calls you, God's going to work with you. So he goes to Holmes. He's there when they build that church. And meets Erna May. And Dee Dee is there. And Lulu Boyette from Red Springs, North Carolina. I knew a brother. And so Brother Beecham allows those four, along with Laura Hilton, to go down to meet with the Foreign Missions Board. This is in her book. And she's writing it. She said, either Brother Taylor or Brother King said to Miss Boyette, you're not planning to go to Africa as a female by yourself, are you? You need to get married and have a husband to take with you. And she said, Laura Hilton said, Brother King or Taylor One started to snickering because they knew that Dee Dee Freeman was already engaged for her to be married, and both of them were going to Africa. Well, Dee Dee Freeman and Miss Boyette and Johnny Brooks and Erna May were approved to go to Africa as missionaries from Holmes Bible College. If you haven't read Brother Freeman's little book, you ought to read it. It's very inspiring. One of the stories Johnny told me, and we had a good time to walk across these grounds, he said to me, on the trip over, they called tea time every day at 10 o'clock. And every afternoon there's a British ship. And he said, I thought to myself, if I can get to Africa and never hear tea time again the rest of my life, I'll be happy. He said, when I landed and Joel Brooks met us, welcome, my brothers and sisters. It's time for tea. and he just could not believe that it was tea time there. But now I'm going to tell you what I did, and I'm getting too personal now. If I got here and things were crushing in, things were small, and I'm here 16 years, and the wider world out there, I want to get out there and see some of it. I'd go to his house at 4 o'clock. I knew it was tea time. And I'd have tea. And we would talk. And Miss Erna May, she's in heaven. Lord bless her. It can't be 11:30. She wanted the gossip of all of what's gone on in the church. And Brother Johnny would say, Erna May, we are not talking about any of that. Because I want to talk about Africa and what God had done. I told my boy, Joey, I said, Joey, that man called you to work for him. He never pays you a dime. You make sure you go work for him. I want you to get something of his spirit. I want you to learn from that guy. I walked right along that sidewalk one day with him, and I was talking about the Bible school and wanted to see a school back here. He said, Brother Leggett, you've got to talk to God until that vision is so big inside of you, you can't do anything else but that. And I've never forgotten his words. D.D. Freeman is going to go to Africa. Johnny Brooks is first elected this superintendent, and then D.D. Freeman. God is going to use both of those men in a mighty way. D.D. Freeman will serve until he retires from there. Brother Brooks is going to come home broken, and the missions board is going to think he can never go back to the field again. But he and Eddie Morris decide that he can. Probably Goshen decides that he can. And Brother Morris says, let's missions board know if you won't do it, we will do it. And they get together and send him to the white man's graveyard in Nigeria. And he opens up the work in Nigeria. I've got too much to tell. I went back with him to dedicate the Bible school. I can't get into all of that. But there, South Africa and Nigeria, Holmes Bible College sent the people to open those fields. We would not have those areas of this church today if those men had not been there. I wish I could find a connection with Joel Rhodes. We'll have to keep looking at it to that. But that's not the end of that story, and I haven't time to talk about all that. Let me see if I can cover the rest of that. You're going to talk about L.M. Duncan and Florine Duncan. L.M. is from Holmes Tabernacle Pentecostal Church, and he is a graduate of Holmes Bible College. And Brother Freeman sends all of his children to Holmes Bible College. And Florine meets L.M. there. And Mont and Florine get married. And Mont goes back to work with his father-in-law. And when the father-in-law retires, Mont becomes the general superintendent of Africa. And when Mont has an early death, Florine is declared the acting superintendent. And this is Holmes Bible College out there. Florine's sister rooms with Faye when she comes to Holmes Bible College. It is an amazing story of how God takes that college and puts a DNA into its people and says, you must evangelize the entire world. The Roy Woods and Jetty and Sue go in 1953. Am I correct?
Yeah, but I just want to mention that the Duncan's son-in-law now is over at Ernest.
Yeah, but we don't talk about that because Ernest went to Emmanuel. That's exactly right. And I'll tell Ernest that once in a while. But Ernest has a mind of his own, in case you don't know it. No, we're great friends. And they were all there for the breaking of the ground of this Freeman Duncan. And they'll be back. It won't be dedicated at the Feast of Endingaren like the Ellenberg Center, but it'll be dedicated sometime. Yes, so basically, you're right. And I should have put that in there. Because you're right, they wouldn't be here except for that marriage. And they were great people. She told me one day, you've never been to Africa until you've been to South Africa. I'd been to Kenya and Nigeria. And she was right. A beautiful country. So Jetty and Susan went there. And then you're going to have as well Jimmy and Esther Gardner, who will go in 1957. Both of them are graduates of Holmes Bible College. Going to have Philip and Galia List. I was in school with both of them. And they are going to be from Holmes. You're going to have Carl Sturck, who's going to become the master builder there. Thank God he got a good training in Africa, so he could do it all at Holmes Bible College as well. Philip Morris, who became the next national the national superintendent there, was a graduate of Holmes Bible College and taught missions at the college. Lamar Pate and Mary Alice. Mary Alice sends me a check for $10 every single month. Lives in Yukon. She just wants to keep that tie with that college. Lawrence Paff and his wife, Lola Rankin. Also in Nigeria. He was there when I dedicated the Bible school with Brother Brooks. And then Wagner goes to West Africa and is still there today, working there. I may have left some out, but you can see how Holmes has impacted Africa. and the wonderful way God has blessed. And I better stop it there if we're going to have lunch.